to everybody and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Now, it's a big day in Brazil, with some people weeping and some others jumping out of their skins in jubilation. In an unprecedented vote, far-right candidate and former army captain Jair Bolsonaro has won the presidential election. Now, the country has been suffering from terrible recession, crimes, and corruption scandals. The almost 45% of Brazilians who did not vote for Bolsonaro are concerned about the status of human rights and environmental issues, given the president-elect's past record and views. Will Bolsonaro, who some call the Trump of the tropics, be able to tackle the rampant corruption and push the country out of recession? Those were the two major tickets on which he campaigned in the presidential race. To begin with, let's watch a report together.
55-44, Tropical Trump finally makes it to the end. Far-right lawmaker Jair Bolsonaro's supporters cheer up the night in different Brazilian cities, hoping that the president-elect change the course of the country's economy and fight corruption as promised in his campaign. Bolsonaro addressed the crowds in his hometown of Rio de Janeiro, making it clear that he's there to defend freedom in Latin America's biggest country.
What happened at the polling stations today was not the victory of a party, but the celebration of freedom by a country. Freedom is a fundamental principle. Freedom to come and go, walk on the streets, in all places of this country. Freedom of engagement, political and religious freedom. Freedom to inform and have an opinion. Freedom to make choices and be respected for them.
On the other side, the reaction was despair. Left-wing nominee Fernando Haddad conceded defeat, but vowed to resist and fight for the 45 million people who voted for him.
I put my life at the disposal of the country. I am sure that I speak for millions of people who have put the country above their own lives, above their own welfare. Don't be scared. We will be here. We are together.
U.S. President Donald Trump congratulated Bolsonaro on his election victory. Trump wished his outspoken admirer good luck and asked him to work for more cooperation between the two countries. It's no surprise that a U.S. president was so quick and loud. Bolsonaro is called Tropical Trump among the public. He has promised to steer the country away from regional cooperation and push it closer to global economies. His views on women, blacks, gun regulations, and even the environment have sparked fears among rights advocates. Brazil's president-elect has even vowed to, quote, cleanse the country of rival leftists. Bolsonaro is the latest far-right figure that becomes president after several leaders in Europe, and is the first Brazil has ever had. His rise to power comes against a backdrop of the left's rule over the country for more than a decade. The leftist presidents of Brazil, including Dilma Rousseff and Michel Temer, were both charged with corruption. The former was removed from power and the latter faces criminal charges. Some analysts argue the public anger against the performance of the left that ruled the country during the Great Recession period somehow propelled people to vote for the other end of the spectrum without knowing much about what's going to happen. They say Bolsonaro may be able to put Brazil's economy back on track, but at the cost of severe restrictions on civil liberties and human rights 30 years after the country won the struggle for democracy.
All right, with that background report, let's start today's debate show. Let me introduce our guests. We'll have correspondent with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, Will Carlos, who covers hate and extremism, who's joining us from Rio de Janeiro. And also with the Answer Coalition, we'll have Richard Becker joining us from San Francisco. Now, let me start with Will. Jair Bolsonaro's victory signals a political shift for the most populous nation and largest economy in South America. How do you see this shift?
I mean, it's pretty stark, basically. I mean, you've gone from a party which I don't think it's correct to call the PT, the People's Party, a socialist party, but they're certainly a left-leaning party. And, you know, going to a guy who's extremely right-wing, I would say far more right-wing than Trump. You introduced in the piece there that he's been called the Trump of the tropics. I think that that's a little bit misleading. I think he's actually far more extreme than Donald Trump. And really, really looking at a very significant shift to the right in the biggest country in South America.
Okay, let me ask Richard Becker, how do you see this shift of what kind that's happening in Brazil?
Well, I would agree. It's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous development, and the way was paved for this development to take place by the Supreme Court, really in defiance of the Brazilian Constitution, preventing Lula da Silva, the most popular politician, according to all the polls in Brazil, from running again, and even going so far as to threaten the Workers' Party, who had to run a lesser-known candidate, Haddad, with fines and other forms of punishment if they even mentioned Lula's name in ads. I think that I agree that Bolsonaro is a more extreme, a more openly racist, misogynistic, homophobic, anti-indigenous, anti-black politician than even Trump. And I think that his rise and his glorification of the 1964 military coup and the military dictatorship that followed for 21 years, the rampant torture, and his promises that he will do the same, that he would even bring the military back into government. You know, it's a very grave threat to the people of Brazil, and I would say to the people of all of Latin America.
Okay, well, Carlos, some analysts are saying that Brazilians are fed up. They're sick and tired of corruption, violence, and also the terrible economy. And that is why they have picked a far-right politician as president. Do you agree?
Not entirely. I agree absolutely that Brazilians are fed up. I mean, every poll will tell you that. I mean, approval rating for Congress, for politicians in general, is single digits. I've lived a lot of different countries in the world, and I've never lived anywhere where people despised politicians like they do in Brazil. So that some people are certainly fed up. We're also, living through the worst recession in modern Brazilian history. All sorts of problems with the economy, the real, although it has bounced back slightly because the markets do like Jair Bolsonaro for various reasons. The real, the Brazilian currency, has been in the doldrums for several years. So that part of it's certainly true. Now, is that why they voted for Jair Bolsonaro? In a way, I mean, I think honestly, they voted for the guy who is not the PT candidate, who's not the People's Party candidate. And your other guest is absolutely right that had Lula been able to run, the former president, he probably would have won. I don't think that that's an absolute, but I think he probably would have won, and that they were very much tied by the fact that they had to run Fernando Haddad very much at the last minute, a guy that people didn't know. But my point is that much like if you talk to a lot of the people who voted for Donald Trump in the States, they will say, look, I don't like the guy very much. I disagree with many of the things that he stands for, but I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. I didn't want to vote for the status quo. And I think that's much more what this vote in Brazil is all about. I think it's about voting in somebody, anybody new. And I do think that plenty of Bolsonaro voters had severe reservations about the horrible, hateful, misogynistic things that he said. And I will just add that a record, I think, 31% of Brazilians refused to vote for either candidate, which I think tells you more about current Brazilian politics than any other statistic you'll hear.
That's right. Okay, Richard Becker, Bolsonaro said during his campaign that he is going to turn setbacks into opportunities and also append political parties and norms and put things right in Brazil. You know, with the kind of man that you know him to be, how is he going to do that?
Well, I think that you can see that already there's a kind of green light. That last year, the Brazilian police killed, I believe it was 5,000 or more Brazilians. In the United States, the police killed about 1,000, which is a three a day. But that's 15 people a day being killed by the police. And Bolsonaro has promised to give carte blanche, and the police hear that. and particularly they hear that in relation to that the door is open for them to carry out even greater repression, particularly against the black population and the indigenous population. So I think that already we're seeing that happening, that and that greater repression is definitely on the horizon. What the I think that what the Brazilian ruling elite, the ruling class of Brazil, would like to do now, they're happy, I think, with this. What they would like to do now is find a way to destroy the Workers' Party altogether. I don't think they're satisfied with just this victory. They will also try to destroy the MST, which is the movement of the landless, and the MSTS, I believe it is, or I may have the initials wrong, but the movement of the homeless. Also, there are many popular movements in Brazil. It's a very, very large country, of course, so there are movements all over the country. There are also implications for this in regard to the neighboring states, and particularly Venezuela, where he has promised, Bolsonaro has promised to take action against Venezuela. So that there's that as a menacing situation. And there are tens of millions of Brazilians, I think, who consider themselves socialist in one way or another. And he has said that if he gets in, that the socialists will either have to get out or go to jail. So, you know, there's very, very many of these kinds of menacing statements and clear intentions, and also the selling off, the intention to sell off state enterprises, state-owned enterprises. I believe 147 he has named of major state enterprises, including the oil company Petrobras.
That's right. Okay, well, Carlos, Bolsonaro has also promised to banish leftist code criminals from the country and also to curtail efforts to protect the environment and indigenous land. He even said he may ditch some of the international environmental agreements. Does this mean that Brazil is turning to become a dictatorship?
No, I don't think it means that at all. I mean, I think it means that you could possibly argue that this is that these are the policies that perhaps a dictator would bring in. But I mean, Jair Bolsonaro was elected. I mean, he was elected by 55% of the Brazilian population, or 55% of the voters. So I mean, you know, I don't buy into personally this idea that that this is the death of democracy in Brazil by any means. I mean, if you go out and talk to voters, as I have done, and you talk to people on the streets of Brazil, people are very, very concerned about two main issues. Here in Brazil, the number one issue is security. And Jair Bolsonaro talks a big game about how he's going to clean up this city, where there are record murders, where they've had to send in the army into certain neighborhoods to police it. I think his ideas are largely nonsensical. I think this idea of giving police carte blanche is ludicrous. I talked to many police people, many police officers in my time in Brazil, and there aren't many members of the military police that go into the favelas, into the poor communities, without carte blanche. I mean, they kill whoever they want to. They get into gunfights with people, in which people are killed in crossfire all the time. So the idea that solving Brazil's security situation is to give police carte blanche is absurd. What the police here need is training, they need equipment, they need a decent salary, so that so many of them don't end up turning to corruption, and then you might actually begin to see some turnaround. But I don't buy this dictatorship idea. The vast majority of people who voted for Jair Bolsonaro are just them normal people who want their lives to improve.
Let me ask Richard Becker now. Mr. Bolsonaro had said, as congressman, that I'm quoting him directly, let's go straight to the dictatorship. Of course, Carlos Willis saying that he may do some things that dictators do, but Brazil is not going to change the dictatorship. Now, the question is, he also made some humiliating comments about women. On Sunday, he shifted his tone and said he would uphold the Constitution and democratic principles. Do you find this sea change to be genuine?
No, I don't. I also agree. I don't think that it is yet a dictatorship or should be called that. I think that Brazil has very strong social movements. They're under attack, but they have a capacity to fight back, to struggle, and that will be necessary to prevent Bolsonaro's entire program from being enacted. But it's impossible to believe after all the statements he's made. I mean, this is someone, he wasn't a kid when he said it. He was a fully grown, mature adult of over 50 years when he told a Brazilian congresswoman that it wasn't worth raping her. Those were his words.
Yep, exactly.
It's not worth that. And I mean, just outrageous, the most outrageous kinds of anti-women, anti-black, anti-gay. He said if he had a son who was gay, he'd rather he was dead. I mean, this shows a real venomous attitude toward all of those who he looks down upon, and he's rallying the population. I mean, he's kind of like a make Brazil great again on compared to the U.S., but on steroids. That's what he's proposing. Whether he's able to pull it off, that depends on the social struggle inside of Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Carlos, President Donald Trump congratulated Bolsonaro's victory, and then he tweeted and said that the two have agreed that the United States and Brazil will work closely together on trade, military, and, quote, anything else. Now, in what direction do you predict Brazil will be moving?
Well, certainly, I think that, you know, you already mentioned privatization. One of the big questions, one of the big problems in Brazil has been in the sort of post-Olympics period in the last 2 years. There was a glimmer of hope during the Olympics where you started to see multinational companies, you know, with some confidence coming in to invest in Brazil again, and then that very quickly went away again, kind of disintegrated, and Brazil's been left without much investment. I think more than anything, what Jair Bolsonaro is going to try and do over the next few months is to try and show some sort of economic stability to the rest of the world, to try and bring in more investment to Brazil. I think that that's probably his best course of action if he wants to try and convince people that he can actually enact some of these changes. But as your other guest mentioned, I mean, that's going to come at a severe cost. I think it's going to come. I'm particularly worried about the environmental cost that it's going to come with. He's talked about opening up indigenous lands to mining. He's talked about, you mentioned, you know, dropping out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of research into the Brazil's involvement in the Paris Climate Agreement. And basically, all Brazil needs to do is to protect, I say all it needs to do, but the primary thing that Brazil needs to do is to protect the Amazon rainforest, and it will keep its carbon emissions, you know, within the goal. Brazil's not a particularly developed country. It is a developed country, but it's still developing. And so things like reducing emissions, getting cars off the roads, you know, swapping out diesel trucks and things like that are less likely to happen. But Brazil doesn't need to do that to meet its goals. And unfortunately, I think Jair Bolsonaro is his policies will attack Brazil's environment really right where it hurts. And so even if he doesn't remove Brazil from the Paris Treaty, his actions in the Amazon could prove devastating.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chair Pecker, rising crimes and violence, as you know, have made life hard and miserable, actually, for Brazilians. What will Bolsonaro have to do in order to deal with such issues? What challenges do you think he will be facing?
Well, he's already, as I mentioned before, said that he wants to give carte blanche to the police. And I think, as your other guest says, the police already, to a large degree, have that. But it could become more extreme. The repression can become much more extreme, I think, in the favelas and in areas that have concentrations of poor people, particularly black people and indigenous people. And I think that we have to really watch that, whether that kind of repression is going to take place. And the underlying cause of crime is poverty. I mean, there's no question about that. And that's not the view of Bolsonaro and his followers. You know, one of the things the Workers' Party is responsible for is a great reduction in extreme poverty in large parts of the country. And that's like in Venezuela. What the Chavez and Maduro governments were able to do was to greatly reduce extreme poverty. That's the single most important step that could be taken to reduce crime, but that's not what the orientation is. In fact, the Bolsonaro regime, as it comes in, it expresses its intention to go in the other direction, to devastate social programs, and they're particularly targeting, with the great approval of the banks, the pension program in Brazil, which they're claiming is excessive, and people can retire too early, and so forth. I mean, these are the things that rich people say about poor people and working people. Rich people who never have to really do a day's work in their life are resentful that, people can only work 30 or 35 years and then be able to get a pension, which is what everyone should really have the right to. But that pension plan, clearly, Bolsonaro has expressed his intention to attack it.
All right, let me ask Will Carlos the last question. Some people are concerned that the former army captain will introduce army generals into the cabinet. Now, while in Congress, he said that we will change the day when we break in civil war here and do the job the military regime didn't do, that's killing 30,000 people. This is direct quotation from him. If some people die, that's fine, he said. Now, what's your prediction? What's going to happen?
I mean, to be fair, I believe that that's a quote from an interview, you know, a long time ago, I think something like 15 years ago. Having said that, you know, it's not a nice thing to say, and it's, I think it's a stupid thing to say. But yeah, I mean, the concern is certainly there that he will bring in army generals, but it's a concern for some people, and for other people, it's, you know, we must admit that there are a lot of people in Brazil, a significant portion of people in Brazil, who feel that, you know, some sort of return to a dictatorship, some sort of return to giving power to the army is a good thing. I don't personally agree with that. I think most people don't agree with that, but there is a portion of people who do. And so I think Bolsonaro, in addition to appealing to the sort of the middle voters, the centrist voters who decided to kind of take a punt on him, he's also got to appeal to the very right wing, you know, the extreme right wing of this country. And one way to do that is to put generals in positions of power. And I think we could possibly see that.
Okay. And Richard Baker, final thoughts, please, in 30 seconds.
Well, I think that the development in Brazil and it not only affects the people of Brazil and the people of South America in particular, it really does have a potential impact for the whole world. I mean, if the Bolsonaro government, this new government, goes forward with extensive mining and foresting and so forth in the Amazon, that would pose a very grave danger. But the main danger is to the people of Brazil. And I think that those of us who believe in social justice need to be on alert for what's happening there and stand in solidarity with the movements, the people's movements in Brazil, which are really the main obstacle to the Bolsonaro program.
All right. I appreciate your comments. We had a correspondent with Revealed from the Center for Investigative Reporting, Will Carlos, who joined us from Rio de Janeiro. And also with Answer Coalition, we had Richard Baker from San Francisco. Thank you both, gentlemen. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you another time.